Morning, everybody. welcome to our brothers and sisters who are joining us, and for those that are from Rich and May, and we have John on here. I don't know. Okay, just Rich and May. So thank you for being here. It's great to have you again. Today, as we just reflect on Christ and the life that he lived and his sacrifice on the cross, I wanted to focus on one of the parables that he takes time to explain to his disciples, and that's the parable of the soils, or the parable of the sower. So if you could turn your Bibles, whether it's on your phone or in your actual physical Bible, or if you're seeing this on video, you can look at the computer screen and look at the scriptures on the screen. So Matthew 13, verses 18 to 23. Matthew 13, chapter 13, verses 18 to 23. It says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown." So of course, all of us want to be like the last soil that's mentioned here in this passage. And I'm going to be referencing the parallel passages in the Gospels from Mark 4, chapter 10 to 25. Again, Mark chapter 4, verses 10 to 25. And then also Luke chapter 8, verses 9 to 18. Again, that's Luke chapter 8, verses 9 to 18. Just for us to gain a better understanding of Jesus as he explains this parable. So, verse 19 says it's about the seed on the path. When somebody hears it and doesn't understand it, and the evil one comes and snatches away from their heart. That's pretty self-explanatory. And verse 20 is something all too well, I think, that maybe we've all seen in the lives of others around us, how the seed that's on the rocky ground, somebody hears the word, receives the message of the gospel, but they only follow God for a short time, because it says trouble or persecution comes solely because of the gospel, and they fall away. And in Mark, it says that they turn away due to temptation in that parallel passage in chapter 4. And Luke simply refers to it as times of testing. Now you look at all of these: trouble, persecution due to the word, or trouble due to the word, or even temptation. in and of itself certainly have turned many people away from the word. They see, maybe they've been deceived into thinking that once they become a Christian, that there will be no trouble, there will be no persecution, they won't give in to temptation. But then they quickly see that that's not what happens. They see that there is trouble because of the gospel, that there is persecution, that the temptations still are there. And because it's there, because of those things, they leave God, unfortunately. Next is the seed that falls among the thorns. And Jesus says in Matthew 13 in verse 22, it says that this hurts somebody who hears it, but the worries of life and deceitfulness of wealth specifically choke the word, and they're not fruitful. So when it says making it unfruitful, it's referring to the fruit of what the gospel and God's message should produce in somebody. It should produce, right, the fruits of the Spirit, which are peace, joy, patience, kindness, and I missed love. I think there's another one I'm missing, but those things specifically. And right, it says with the worries of life that come with just living and wealth, the deceitfulness that comes with it, that we can put our trust in riches and money, in that money is going can be our security blanket, that money is the thing that we can trust and we can have confidence in, that it will be there. But that's not really the case. It's and Mark in this explanation says it just simply says the desire for other things prevent somebody from being fruitful, that choke the word of God. Luke says that those that are among the thorns, they don't, or that the seed that falls among the thorns does not mature. They allow the desire for other things, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth to prevent them from maturing in Christ. And certainly, I think we can look at people who claim to follow God, but yet they're not growing, or they haven't grown in many years of with joy or peace. That reference to the Spirit that I mentioned in Galatians, and it's probably because that they've allowed these things to come into their lives and claim ultimate importance in their hearts, in their minds, and their souls. Much like the rich young ruler said, Jesus told them to sell everything and give to the poor, but he couldn't depart from, I don't think it was just his wealth, but maybe the status that he had during that time. Or he couldn't leave. If he sold everything he had, that would diminish the accomplishments that he had in his life. But whatever the reason, he wasn't able to depart or to follow God. I think it's a good reference for us to remember here when it's talking about the seed that falls among the thorns. Lastly, in verse 23, it talks about the seed falling in the good soil, and it's one somebody that hears the word and understands it, understanding that there will be, there is trouble, there will be persecution, and that there are, that there will be times of testing and temptation. But they don't let those things take them away from God. They let the, they help and make those things bring them closer to God. I think it's important to see that in Luke, it says that one who hears the word retains it, and by perseverance produces a crop. I think it's important to remember that, you know, it's or one that clings to the word. It's important for us not just to hear the word, but to retain the things that we hear from the Bible, the things that we understand from the Bible, but also to persevere through life, through the times of testing, through temptation, through persecution, through the trouble that is to come and that has come, so that we don't end up in these other categories. And by persevering, we mature. We're not like the seed among the thorns that doesn't mature in the fruit of the Spirit. We're not, but we're like the good soil. And I guess to put it simply, that when Christ explaining this to his disciples, I'm kind of taking a page out of my father-in-law's book of like what the Bible says and what it doesn't say, but Christ doesn't say that the seed that falls among the good soil doesn't have stones or thorns, but just simply says that none of these things hinders this seed from growing and producing a crop. I think that, you know, Jesus is saying that, you know, they hear the word and they understand it. They have desires for other things. They might have wealth. They might have worries of this life, but they don't allow those things to hinder them from growing in God, from clinging to God, from growing in the fruits of the Spirit that God is trying to sow in them. And so as we reflect on the life of Christ and reflect on what we've heard and understood from the Word, I want us also to consider these four different soils, these four different places that the seed of our souls can fall in. And maybe just take take some time to meditate this week or later today to see where we are. Are we allowing the times of testing and temptation to hinder our growth in Christ? Are we allowing the worries of this life and maybe the wealth that we have to be of utmost importance in our life? Are we allowing our desires for other things to help to hinder us in our maturity in Christ? Or are we like the good soil that is still growing in the fruits of the Spirit, in our patience and in our kindness? Are we using the things in which Satan and those that follow him, that they want to use to help us to turn away from Christ? Are we using those to turn to him and help us to bring us closer to him? So at this time, let us pray for the bread and the juice, in whatever form it takes for us. And let us thank God for what he has sown in our lives, what he is sowing in our lives, because of the life and the sacrifice of Christ, our Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for just this time, God, that we can read the words that were come down, the things that you taught, the things that you explained, the things that you warned your disciples about, God. Thank you that we have this this conversation that you had with your disciples to explain the parables, to explain what you meant, God, and all that it entails. God, I thank you for what you said, but also for what you didn't say, God. I thank you that you didn't ignore that everybody's going to have other things come into their life, other worries, other desires, God, but that there are people that will cling to your word, use these things to draw closer to you. God, I thank you for the life and the example that you set for us all, for how you persevered in your longing to please God, and how you ultimately gave your life for the sinners of this world, for all of us, God, as an atonement for our sins. God, I thank you for the lives that have been changed through you, through the sacrifice, through the example of your disciples. God, I pray you help us to consider where we are and whether or not the things of this world are taking first importance. I pray you'd help us to mature, to grow, wherever we are. Help us to grow closer to you. And remember our thankfulness and our gratitude to you. Pray all this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.